This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they don't do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Yo!
Who can follow on Twitter at Kelly Bidlin. I don't know why he spells it that way. He just does. We get tweets beating the book. Joey Kiska. Oberlin College of Ohio is the yeoman. John Heisman, first coach there. I don't know what he means by that. Is the yeoman?
That must be their nicknames.
By the way, I visited Oberlin as a youngster.
Yeah, where's that again?
In Ohio. Oberlin, Ohio. Just outside, about what, an hour outside of Cleveland? Something like that? Everyone was just so nice. That's all I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was so nice. Mm-hmm. Brian M., yeoman's work, not from an acceptable statistical error, he says.
That's right. That's right.
And then Scott, where I can't even read your thing. I'm not reading that, Scott, because it's not nice about somebody.
I got one separate that yeoman is a clerical position. Okay.
Yeah. Yeoman's effort. Not to be confused with a human's effort.
That's right.
Which, again, you can find on the website where he goes through all the quarterback depth charts.
Eason.com for human's efforts.
See what I did right there?
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to MLB most wins and fewest wins, I teased this earlier because something's wrong with me. I decided because past the preseason now, the first game of the season is on Wednesday, right? It's a Wednesday Super Bowl rematch between the Seahawks and the Patriots. Regular season. The next night, our time Pacific, Thursday night, but Friday morning Melbourne time is the game between the Niners and the Rams. And please, aside to an aside, please, I don't want to hear anybody say Melbourne like the Australians pronounce it, because I don't want to get in an argument with you like I did with Ron Flatter. I used to refer to as our adult supervision here at the network. Whenever I said Melbourne, he goes, "It's Melbourne, Gil." I go, no, that's how the Australians pronounce it. He goes, "It's Melbourne. You sound dumb saying Melbourne." I'm like, "What did you say? Do you say Guadalajara? Do you say Yerushalayim?"
Danny, just remind me to work that in every time possible now.
By the way.
Melbourne.
One more side.
I'm really lead into it
one
now.
One more side note. Flatter, who, by the way, every once in a while, this is just you and me talking, right? Nobody's listening?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I text Flatter, like every 6 months, just to check in on him, how he's doing. You know, how to see how he's doing. You know what his thing is now? He's like, "Real friends pick up the phone and call."
You did tell me this a few weeks ago.
So Flatter is mad at me, the only guy I'm sure texting him.
Stop trying to stay in touch with him.
He's mad at me. He's like the, you ever see like a Bernie Sanders thing where like the ultra left wingers go up on stage and interrupt his speeches
because
they don't think he's left enough? That's how I feel with Flatter. In this analogy, I'm Bernie Sanders. Yeah, he's the far left.
If you're going to try to stay in touch with Ron Flatter, pick up the phone. Okay?
Oh, he's so mad at me. Anyway, back to the story. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So Rams and Niners, then Melbourne time Friday morning, which is actually Pacific time here. And I'll use the Pacific time zone because the Niners and Rams are obviously teams in the Pacific time zone. How are they approaching the travel? And so I thought to myself, can we glean anything betting-wise from the history of the international games in terms of teams deciding to arrive early for an international game versus teams that decide to arrive late? And I threw out the Brazil and the Mexico games. I don't want these time zones here, close time zones. I just isolated the London games, regardless of stadium, Ireland and Germany, right? All of the Europe games. I know it's not Australia, but it gives us some sense. So I went through all of these games, and a lot of times, Kelly, this is a big project. A lot of these times, the teams arrived on the same day, so you have to throw those in. So here's what I found, and this was a long way to get to this.
Remember how big of a deal this was, though, when they first started doing international games?
Well, maybe this is still a deal. I'll let you decide. So there are a grand total of, and now I can't find it, a grand total of 26 games that qualified.
Okay.
The team that arrived earlier in the week versus the team that arrived later in the week. And by earlier and later, I just mean minimum one game before, but those were only a couple of them. Usually it's like 3 or 4 days difference. 14 and 12 straight up in favor of the teams that arrived earlier. So very right down the middle. didn't matter at all to the outcome.
And again, just the this is European games.
This is just the European games.
Played since the beginning. Since we started doing international.
Since like 2010, I believe, we started the international season. 2009, well, maybe it was 2007, something like that. I went all the way back to the beginning of it. Matter of fact, since you asked the question, let me tell you the exact answer. Yes, 2007 was the first international game.
Where were you the first time the Jaguars played in London?
Against the spread in those 26 games that qualify, the earlier team is 17-9 against the spread.
All right.
The team that arrived, now keep in mind, again, for all these, I had to figure out for all these when they arrived, what the spread was and all that stuff, right? Now, the issue, though, is before you jump to bet, okay, by the way, for this game, I probably should have led with this, the Niners are going like a week early, and the Rams are going right before the game. Like, this is a stark difference to Melbourne, to Australia. So before you rush to bet the Niners, and by the way, the spread is the Rams -3.5, just know the history of these two teams, which is that the Niners have only played in two international games. It was way back when, one in 2010, one in 2013. They went early in the week for both, and they won and covered in both of those. Ancient history, but still that's that franchise's history in these games. And the Rams have played four international games. The first two that they played, they went early in the week. They lost both of them. And then they decided, let's try this differently. Let's go late. And guess what happened? They won both of them and covered in both of them. So both of these franchises are dug in to the extent that you can be dug in with that short of a sample size. But they believe in these philosophies.
Right.
The Rams are going to do this, Kelly. The Rams are going to leave. So now remember, the game Pacific time is Thursday night. The Rams are leaving L.A. Wednesday morning our time at 5 a.m. That will have them arriving in Melbourne at 9 p.m. Wednesday. Oh, excuse me, 9 p.m. our time, if you will.
Yeah, okay.
9 p.m. our time, probably, not Melbourne time, 9 p.m. our time, Pacific time zone. So let's say they go to bed by 11 p.m. midnight. Breakfast, 8 a.m., whatever. Game time, our time, 5:35 p.m. So the Rams are essentially saying, jet lag, schmet lag, that was a good rhyme, we are just going to act like we are not leaving the Pacific time zone.
Right.
We are powering through it. The Niners are saying, no. We are acclimating to the climate, to the time zone, a week in advance. That's how we choose to play it. So anyway, that was. I don't know that there's any definitive result from that, but those are the philosophies of how you're playing it. And let me just say this. I've never been to Australia, but I went to Korea, if you remember, a few years ago. Me and Deborah Song Fashion Stylist went to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
To visit the great Gracie. And we were jet lagged on the way there, kind of. I mean, somewhat, for sure. But you know where it really affected us? On the way back. It took like 2 weeks for me to get my sleep right on the way back. So for me, having that personal experience, I think the Niners' real effect is going to be the game after this. I think they're going to have real trouble reacclimating to the Pacific time zone for their subsequent football game. And I actually think, Kelly, the Rams are playing this correctly.
Going late.
Just act like we are not going to be in Australia. This is not, we are not, just tell yourself we're going to power through this. We'll be back in LA right on the same time schedule. And whatever happens in this game between the Niners and Rams, the real effect to me is I think the Rams benefit in the subsequent game because they will not have acclimated to Australia time, whereas I think the Niners will suffer in the subsequent game from that decision in this one.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Man, I really wish they didn't do these on week one. Like but
if you're going to Australia, that's the only time you can Australia.
Just don't go to Australia. Where do we see, we saw Brazil week one, right? The past couple years, or maybe one of the years, Packers Eagles last year, I believe, right? That one I kind of don't mind, right? You're not going crazy with the time zones. It's still a lot of travel, but you're not going crazy with the time zones. Like the European trips, you kind of make it work in like a couple weeks, right? You have to go there and you get your bye. You have the option of getting your bye at least. Those make sense to me. More middle of the season. This is week one because of exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you can't schedule a game in Melbourne week seven.
No, I know, but like you're screwed. Like, yeah. I agree with you. Like, there's a chance these teams are screwed up, maybe one more so than the other, that for a couple weeks at the beginning of the season.
I think in the case of the Niners, they will be.
One other preseason game on the move. I can't really tell you why though. New Orleans Saints have moved to the favorite on Thursday night against the Jaguars. That was Jags 1.5 early this morning. It is now Saints 1.5 pretty much everywhere.
Okay.
That was good stuff, man. I can't even imagine the spread. Like, spreads would have been annoying, but you could have found those.
The Googling of who arrived first.
I was going to say, that part would have been by far the toughest, right?
Yeah, because some were easier to find than others. I mean, some of them were known, but others were, you know, it took some digging. And in the end, what were really the results? 14-12 straight up for the early teams, 17-9 against the spread for the early teams. I don't know if that's a significant enough sample size. I don't know if you can glean anything from it, but as it pertains to this game, they've never been to Australia before. This is completely new horizons, right? Where it's just like, this is a completely different philosophical approach to travel. And oh, by the way, one last note, the Rams actually sent some of their team officials already on a trip to Australia. They flew from LA to Melbourne and back, tracking when and how much they felt the effects of the jet lag. And they came to the conclusion that the best way to handle it would be to prepare at home, fly as close to the game as possible, let adrenaline carry them through the game, and then fly right home and rest up on the back end. So they actually did a test of this already. Their week two game is Monday night at home against the Giants. Like I said, I think it will be a bad decision subsequently for the Niners. Coming back. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget about our VSiN Pro intro offer. You can sign up now for as little as $9.99. That is $9.99. Daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, full access to tools and data. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, you sign up for VSiN Pro today. You get both our NFL and college football betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. Start today for just $9.99. You get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today. Do it now. Why today? Do it now. What's the harm?
Mm-hmm.
This is for, let's say, we get tweets on beating the book. Montreal Max, great having you back, Gil. And after being out last night here watching my girl Belinda Bencic play Alex Iala with the crowd 95% cheering on Iala, it was nice for Belinda to give a shout to us in that crowd yelling out Belinda multiple times. What he's referring to is, and I've talked about this before, Alexandra Iala is maybe the greatest thing to happen to women's tennis, in my opinion, in the last few years. Because she has unlocked not only a massive Filipina tennis-loving audience, but also young people drawn to women's tennis. And it is just this unbelievable rock star kind of thing. She won her first 500 in D.C., beating Jessie Pegula in the finals last week.
All that.
And Montreal Max was apparently at the tournament in Toronto. And Belinda Bencic shouting out those that actually dared root for Bencic. We had Bencic last night for subscribers. Chris of St. Bart's, fire any CFB futures yet? I have not. You, Kelly, have you done any college football futures yet?
That is a great question, Gil. Do I? Because if I have, I don't remember. No, I have not. I have not.
Hmm. Colin Murphy. See what Wes Reynolds has coming up. Colin Murphy, welcome back, Gil. Kelly, I always thought a fast food connoisseur, loves playing golf in extreme heat, night owl who hates broccoli. We're on to our joke. 3 Jack H, 3131, 3 Jacques. Welcome back, Gil. Kelly and friends did an amazing job holding the fort down while you were out. Now let's talk Survivor. Talk me out of taking the Raiders in week one. Oh, we got to do our Survivor segment. Survivor tenants. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, we've got Cleve T.A. will be on the show tomorrow.
Cleve T.A. tomorrow, baby.
I think that's going to lead us into some Survivor talk. So, yeah, I think we'll do that tomorrow.
Torch D., the one who put the satin in your panties, said, Rams got it right. Minimize the chances of running into a poisonous snake. Australia is terrifying.
Oh, God. Yeah, that too.
Michael H., BBC article on their app right now says that jet lag is worse going east than west. I'm telling you, man, I don't agree with that.
I'm one of those people, by the way, who feel like I never get jet lag until that time I get jet lagged.
Oh, no, maybe I do agree with that, because when I came back this way, it was just impossible to reacclimate.
Yeah.
Gordon Dye, big mistake by the Rams. He says, just got back from the Philippines. The jet lag and time zone difference is real. I haven't solved it yet, even after several visits. Forget about a good night's sleep when you arrive. Brian M., the Niners are in trouble week two at home against, checks notes, Miami. Never mind. Week two, bye for the Niners. Yeah, that's true. There is that to consider. Primetime Leon Sanders, yo, man. That does, but the spread is where that will matter. Yo, man, kudos to Country Club and K. Michael Billen for efforting and delivering on some great NFL guests while you were away slacking. All of America, including Dave Ross, and thankful to Kelly. Maybe Aikman or Gil's favorite color guy, Romo, could join the show. He's available. Oh, did you have an ex-cowboy on the show?
Oh, that was, first of all credit to Dustin. But yeah, we had on Friday, Bobby Carpenter, okay, famous Ohio State running back, linebacker.
You had former Washington Capitol Bobby Carpenter on?
Who also ended up playing for the Dallas Cowboys, you remember, for a while,
yes,
right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And then one segment after him, Daryl Moose Johnson. So I was like, Dustin, we got to get like Aikman or Emmett and
sully the show some more.
That's right. I was like, we got to get one more and just like really run the, like, of course, Dave Ross was losing it. He was not having it.
We have a million time zone tweets to get to. We will get to them. But Wes Reynolds is kind enough to join us, as he does each and every Monday, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. Wes, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Are you guys saying that Tony Romo is going to be available soon?
He might.
Yes.
To appear on a numbers game.
I think he might be, yeah.
What is your instinct on that, Tony? Tony, Wes, not to get too inside broadcasting, but if you had to bet on such a thing, if you were a betting man, do you think Romo is back on the broadcast this year or no?
Man, that's about 50-50, because they do have somebody in the pipeline. Of course, they're at CBS. They have J.J. Watt, mm-hmm. who is on the number two team with the great Ian Eagle. So they have somebody, I think, ready to go if they need to do that. And we see these personnel changes all the time, the guys that go into the studio, that go into the booth. And I thought J.J. Watt did a really nice job of that last year in the games that I watched. Because, look, we're usually watching Red Zone, or maybe you're paying attention to one game. But of the games I watched, I thought J.J. Watt was actually excellent. And, you know, he seems to be a likable guy and obviously very popular and soon to be a Hall of Famer. So they have somebody ready to go if Tony Romo and CBS don't work it out.
Do you have a NFL thought or bet or just an overall opinion on something that you feel is counter to conventional wisdom, Wes, that you believe this offseason that you haven't heard many others sort of be on board with? Or is there one being bandied about that you just can't get with, that you've heard a lot?
Well, I'll go to the NFC, and in terms of the NFC South, which is kind of like Wheel of Fortune, I think, you know, where it stops is who you pick to win the division, because I don't think you have really one standout team. So I think it might be Carolina again. I look at everybody, and there's questions there. New Orleans is a clear rebuild. I think with the second year staff and a young quarterback, I still think that they're rebuilding. So I don't want to say that they can't win it, but they're probably the least likely. Atlanta, who's going to play quarterback? Is it going to be Michael Penix Jr.? Is it going to be Tua? You know, so it kind of feels like they're unsure of themselves. And then Tampa Bay, you wonder if they've kind of hit their peak a little bit. Like they're an older roster, even though Baker has improved his numbers both years. So as much as I'm not a believer, really a true believer in Bryce Young, he has shown some progress, but I think that there's a ceiling there with him. I still think it might be Carolina again, kind of by default in that division.
Every time Bryce Young comes up on this show, I am contractually obligated to say, Kelly, what do you think about Bryce Young?
I got no idea. I got no idea, Gil. He's small. That's what I know. I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's bad. I like betting against him, though.
Jury's still out on Bryce Young, Wes, according to Kelly. Okay, what about the tweet that we just had earlier? Because Kelly and I balked at it, which is, do you have any college football futures? And I said I would ask you, do you have any college football futures?
A few, and then I'm kind of looking at the season win total markets because there's still some variance out there. It's going to get tighter as we get closer and closer to the season where you can lay some heavier juice on a bigger number, like if you like an under 5.5 instead of, you know, playing under 4.5. But I have a few. One I do like because it's like, okay, how is this playoff going to shake out? Is it going to be very similar to last year? And it probably is with all the big conferences dominating where you have 12 spots. Say Notre Dame is going to make it because I think that they probably are this year. And then you have a G6, you have an ACC champ and a Big 12 champ. So that leaves you four Big 10 teams and four SEC teams more than likely taking 8 of the 12 spots. So if you look at the top three in the Big 10, the consensus top three in whatever order you look at is Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. At some point, Indiana certainly has the schedule again to win 10, 11 games. So who's going to be that fourth team? The second tier, there's probably three candidates. There's Michigan, there's USC, and there's Penn State. I think it might be Penn State, and I took them plus 450 to make the college football playoff. Even though you look, it's a whole new team, right? James Franklin got fired midseason. They end up with Matt Campbell from Iowa State, who was not the first choice for the job. And he brings in 24 guys with him from Iowa State, and I think 40 overall transfers and most of his staff. The schedule for Penn State, they avoid the big three guys. Like, they don't play Ohio State. They don't play Oregon. They don't play Indiana. They do have to go to Michigan. But Michigan's got a first-year head coach in Kyle Whittingham, so they've got plenty of transition. So I thought Penn State, with an experienced group that went 11-2 at Iowa State, by the way, went to the Big 12 title game, assuming Rocco Becht is healthy, and I think he's going to be, even though he got held out for the spring and just did 7-on-7 with that labrum surgery in the offseason. I think Penn State is a team that you certainly want to look at. They don't really dazzle you right away, but that schedule is just no real challenges in the non-conference, and you get kind of the back end of the league in terms of the layout of it.
Wasn't going to ask about them, but since you alluded to them, Indiana, your Hoosiers, because you went there, defending national champions, but obviously the NFL came calling. But you legitimately think, and the betting market, by the way, they're the sixth shot to win the whole thing again at 9-1 here pre-flop. You think, even post-Mendoza here and others, that they, because of that schedule, legitimately will get to the playoff and then, I guess, have a fighting chance at that point?
I do, Gil, and I think there's just roster continuity there, and I'm not going to doubt Kurt Cignetti, who's now 27-2 2 years there in Bloomington, and you have Josh Hoover coming in from TCU, who is certainly a productive quarterback, got to get the turnovers down, might have the best offensive line in college football with all the starters back, and defensive line. They got two guys that were starters last year that they thought were going to be out of eligibility, and now Stephen Daly and Kellen Wyatt are back. I think it's another good run for Indiana. Kurt Cignetti's building a monster there.
I don't know. They got Howard week two, though.
Watch out.
That's always tough. Howard. Love Howard University, especially on a Friday afternoon. More with Wes, baseball and golf next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
20 leagues, one mission, just win. Bets Baby is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets Baby. The name says it all. Tweets at Beating the Book. Joe C., our buddy Joe C., Joe C714. He said, having traveled a lot in the military, this goes back to our discussion in case you missed about the Niners-Rams game in Australia and the different ways that both teams are handling it. Niners going hella early, to use the Bay Area term. Rams going late. Joe C714 said, having traveled a lot in the military from Europe to the States, they told us the true time to reacclimate to the local time zone is the days that correlate to the hours and time difference. So in other words, 12-hour difference, 12 days. So he's on the Niners side of things. Chris Hartman, Gil, Carbone Riviera. What an experience. The Yellowfin and Spicy Rigatoni Vodka are worth it alone. Well, Spicy Rigatoni Vodka is a staple of the Carbone Classic.
Yeah, see, I'm a little scared for the first time I go there that I'm just going to end up ordering all the Carbone Classics.
Well, they do a lot. You can get the pasta AOP at the Carbone Classic, but they do it with crab at Riviera.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm getting that one.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting that one for sure. Tried to go there on Friday.
Like people
night.
Do you like people?
Get in.
You just thought you'd roll up in there?
Yeah, you know, we made a couple calls. Matt Brown made a couple calls. We ended up over at Oscars. Myself, Matt Brown, Drew Dinsick,
and
Andy Molitor.
Did you get the burger?
I did not. I got a steak. It was pretty good.
Rookie move.
Go with that. Pretty good.
Go with the burger.
But hey, good times.
Good times.
Good times were had with good people.
That's right. David Jennings, that a great table. Drew Dinsick, Matt Brown, Andy Molitor, and you, Kelly Bidlin. David Chalifour, yo, welcome back. So you said that we're so nice in Ohio, but end up in Boston where you find us mass blanks. 180 degree difference. Let's go football. David, I'd like to disagree, but yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Justin D, 49ers minus 10.5 at home against the Dolphins. Dolphins 4-1 money line. Smells like a Marco hold your nose special. Yeah, I'm not saying they're beating the Dolphins, but that spread based on reacclimation to time zone seems pretty tempting, especially because the Dolphins play week one, they'll probably get hammered. Justin G, so what you're saying is take the Dolphins week two and Survivor. I did not say that. KJ, Dr. Actor KJ, he said, Gil, there are zero poisonous snakes. There are, however, plenty that are venomous. Hashtag biology nerd.
Ooh.
Oh, I was just reading the tweet.
Who
was
that?
That wasn't me.
Who was that?
KJ at Dr. Actor KJ.
Oh, KJ just went full altitude elevation on us.
He said he's a self-proclaimed biology nerd. He says venomous snakes, not poisonous snakes. Thank you, KJ. Appreciate that. Let's get that straight.
Now you know.
Wes Reynolds. Now you know. Wes Reynolds at Wes Reynolds 1 on Twitter with us once again. Wes, venomous, not poisonous, by the way, just if you're scoring at home. Can I ask you about golf currently? I know you have some baseball picks, which we'll get to here. Golf, are we about to head into the FedEx Championship arc here?
Playoff
we
time,
are,
baby.
And speaking of venomous, for myself and Kelly Bidlin, felt like we got bit by a snake a little bit this weekend. Michael Brennan, who we have all bet, somewhat routinely, and Matt Brown has as well. And one of the bigger hitters on tour didn't have him, had it surrounded with Tom Kim, with Davis Thompson, and with young Benjamin James. And Michael Brennan ends up running away from the field and winning the Wyndham Championship. So now we are in the final 70. We're down to 70 now at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. That, of course, being in Memphis. Walking in Memphis, shout out to Mark Cohn, Grammy winner. And then after this week, we go down to the BMW Championship at Bellerive in St. Louis. Then that's the top 50. And then the following week, you're, of course, at East Lake, where you usually are in Atlanta for the final 30 for the FedEx Cup playoffs.
And what's our format now for that third and final one at the Tour Championship? Are we doing I always say it's
starting strokes.
Yeah, starting strokes. What are we doing now?
They switched that last year, actually.
They switched that to
where you started all over again. And of course, you know, Tommy Fleetwood finally got that first win in America. Still searching for a second one, by the way. So you see him on the board there on the graphic, I think fourth choice. Some of these guys, too, by the way, they have not played since the Open Championship. So they did not play any of the Midwest events in Minneapolis and Detroit. And then, of course, the Wyndham last week. So some of these guys are still getting off the deck a little bit, but looks like everybody is a participant this week that can be, that nobody is skipping this event, save for Daniel Berger, who I believe has an injury. So only 69 players officially in here, but yeah, you see the usual suspects here with this as we wind down August. So Scotty, Rory, Xander, typical order there on the board. And then there's a little bit of drop off from the top two like there has been. So, you know, some decent mid-range prices and I think some very quality players. And player of the year, of course, is still at stake here. That's going to be a decider because I don't think you've had really one standout. Mm-hmm. You've had guys that have won multiple events like Chris Goddard, like Cameron Young, you know, like Sam Burns has been such a factor in the majors at pretty much every major this year. So, and Rory, of course, won the Masters. But, yeah, it's absolutely wide open for this crazy golf season we've seen.
Does any book put up, pardon me, a market for the end of the three tournament point total rather than just this tournament alone, obviously?
I think that they still might. I don't want to say for sure because I'm not actually 100% certain of that. But, you know, obviously you don't have the starting strokes deal for the Tour Championship. So that's not going to give you that bias that it would toward the chalky guys where it was like, okay, well, the guy who's a clear number one in the points, Scottie Scheffler, it doesn't matter if he played poorly in Memphis or in the event lead up. He was still going to be the overwhelming favorite. So there might be a couple that do, but
that's a great point. That because when they used to do it that way, that became a fascinating market.
Well, you were almost, and they still have it up. I'll run through it in a second. You were back when they were doing the starting strokes, you were almost obligated to, like, if you were whoever you were going to bet outright for this week, right? And like the St. Jude, you almost had to bet them in that market too, because if they go win an event, they launch up the point standings, and all of a sudden you're starting the Tour Championship with five strokes or seven strokes.
So what you're saying is that they didn't care to make this interesting for bettors, is ultimately
correct. Yeah. You're just FedEx Cup odds right now. Scottie Scheffler +330, Rory McIlroy a little over 8-1, Cameron Young 13.5-1, Xander Schauffele 16-1, Ludwig, Tommy Fleetwood, Sam Burns all 17-1.
Not as interesting, though, as Wes points out. Because when you had the strokes, the first place heading into the final tournament was 10-under, 9-under, 8-under, 7-under, and it cascaded down. And that was part of the calculus, right, to be able to figure out where they would slot heading into the final week. Okay, baseball. 10 games Major League Baseball today, as is, you know, usually the case on a Monday. Some teams don't play. What did you end up with today, Wes?
Yeah, just a couple today, and one being the Boston Red Sox, who were very, very good to you in the previous month. But not going to play a side necessarily here. What I am going to play is a pitcher prop. And I think on the exchanges, you could still lay about $1.70 with juice. This has gone over in the overnight. But Sonny Gray over 17.5 outs here. So that means basically he's got to go, of course, six innings. The Boston Red Sox bullpen... everything has been going so well from them, but people might not have been paying attention that they actually got beat in a series this weekend by the Sacramento Athletics or the Fresno Athletics or the Las Vegas Athletics, whatever you want to call them, the Athletics, who haven't won a lot of series lately, but certainly did take two or three in Fenway. And one of the byproducts of that is that Red Sox bullpen got used up a bunch. They are very taxed. I think they used six relievers, by the way, yesterday, including Chapman, including Whitlock, including Moran. So the only guy they didn't use is one of the guys that have been kind of their half ex officio closer, Justin Slayton. But that means that you're going to have to get a lot of length from your starter in Sonny Gray. And I think we're getting to this point of year in baseball, right, where you want to manage your starters, but you got to manage that bullpen too. And now the Red Sox are back in the race. So, you know, I think Sonny Gray, Toronto pretty aggressive at the plate, even though they don't strike out a lot. I think you see him go six innings today. So over 17.5 outs, lay the vig.
All right. On Sonny Gray, starting for the Red Sox today against the Blue Jays. And then the Mets and the Braves, you took a total play here.
Yeah, over 8.5. Some regression candidates here with Christian Scott and Bryce Elder. And if you watch the Braves this weekend, they did get one in the stadium up there in the Bronx. But the offense wasn't really quite there, really, for either team. To have three pretty low-scoring games there, I think they get going here against the Mets. Mets, obviously, just playing out the string. They finally got something going in Pittsburgh yesterday after they got shut down the first 2 days of the series. So over 8.5 for me with the Mets and the Braves.
Okay. Any instinct? I'll leave you with this. Team that no one wants to face in the playoffs in the American League and National League would be who?
In the American League, I would say the Yankees once they get healthy.
I think you're right.
At the plate.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees. And then in the National League, I know they're the favorite, but the Brewers.
Yeah.
The Brewers. They've just figured out a way to manage that staff this year.
I like both of those answers. Not the answers one would expect, but I like them. Straightforward. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it as always.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Coming back, Kelly's got some preseason plays.
Enough.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Wes, by the way, you know why I love having Wes on more than anything?
Overall great guy.
Overall great guy. But both on air and off air, we end up having musical conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up something. I actually spent 90 minutes listening to his recommendation that he just brought up now, but I happened to listen to it for 90 minutes when I was on vacation. He brought up...
Yeah, what was this?
Keith Urban. Are you familiar with Keith Urban?
Yep. Keith Country Urban. Guy.
Country artist, but, you know...
Plays guitar.
Former husband, I guess, of Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah. Did
you just vomit out all your Keith Urban knowledge?
Except I knew the Nicole Kidman part.
Keith Urban decided to do a Yacht Rock cover album.
Okay, that's badass.
Oh, my God. And I don't... Listen, I haven't heard an interview with Keith Urban, but he clearly did it lovingly to the point where he wanted it to sound as perfect to the original as he could with his own little spit on it. But it was just done so deliberately. Every instrument sound and it was just awesome.
I will be checking that one out.
He did Robbie Dupree's Steal Away. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Baby Come Back by Player.
Baby Come Back.
You can sing all these. Just the Two of Us, Grover Washington Jr., Bill yep. Withers. Sing that one for us.
Just the Two of Us.
On and On, Stephen Bishop. You know that one?
I don't know.
How Much I Feel, Ambrosia, Summer Breeze, Seals and Crofts, and Gino Vanelli, I Just Want to Stop. It was just fan. Oh my God. It was so good. Anyway, there's your music.
Remember, I still got to drag you to Yachtly Crew the next time they're out here.
Oh, I'm down. I'll do that.
That's a great show. That's a great show. And it makes me feel really young.
Yachtly Crew.
But like one of the younger people.
Like when I go to the Derby party at the South Point.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm so young.
Exactly that.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
is this what the Fountain of Youth looks like? Dell, Mind the Gap Radio. Welcome back. Attending Raiders game Thursday. After listening to many bash Dolphins win total, don't sleep on Jeff Hafley. Really like Miami. +4 in week 1. There you go. Brian Morianen. Over under for that week 2 San Francisco-Miami game is 46.5. Feels like a 17-7 game, hovering around the spread, but way under the total. So that's a good angle on it. Dolphins are in Vegas week 1, so knowing if they fly home and then back west or just stay out west will determine that. It's a great tweet.
Yeah, that's talk about two nightmare situations colliding, right? Like either you're hanging in Vegas or you're going all the way back east and flying out west again.
P5 Legends. Gil, I nominate you to relaunch the old Mike Lombardi Step Into My Office VSiN segment. It's not about what we want to hear, but what you need to hear. He says, of course, the UNC football GM has to be your first guest for advice. Welcome back, Gil. Yeah, I'll call Lombardi, see if that happens. I'm sure he's got it all figured out. Torch D, tweeting back, he says, well, I'm kind of disgusted with myself. I've been a huge snake nerd my whole life, and I just called them poisonous. Going to take a long, hard look in the mirror. We'll check back in tomorrow.
Get it together, Torch.
Torch, if that is your real name. It's a very, very honest, self-introspective, I think, or introspective. That's redundant. Introspective look at yourself.
Snake nerd? Is that what he called himself?
Venomous.
Apparently we would not get along. Snakes are disgusting.
He called himself a biology nerd, not just a snake nerd. You have a couple preseason NFL plays for us.
I do. Snakes are gross.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's all I've got.
Kelly Bidlin, preseason plays.
Just firing on these Friday, as Dustin and I were sitting here and the lines were opening up. It was kind of great. We had like opening lines on the show on Fridays that we were running through these. Yeah, I got a bunch. We went through kind of quarterback depth charts, who we're trusting, who we're not trusting as much. The coaches, obviously, we've talked up. Let's see, we'll start on Thursday where we have games going. I have a teaser, 6-point teaser. Because I can't help myself. Like the 10-point teaser is probably a little bit more valuable in the preseason.
I'm totally doing the 3-leg 10-point teasers. I don't even know if I should put them up because they're so... You can't find them.
Yeah, they're
unless
tough.
You're betting in a faraway place.
They're tough. Yeah, maybe not. I don't even know. I mean, is everybody offering 6-point teasers? I was a little surprised Caesars was doing their normal teaser pricing for the preseason.
I saw the 6-pointers, yeah.
I can't help myself when I see these low totals, right? So I was leaning... Actually, these are two. These two are still both available. Still, Colts and Chargers. I teased up both of those sides. So Thursday, Colts at the Patriots, Chargers at the Texans. Two of those quarterback depth charts, I believe, a little bit more in. Although I don't know if you've caught the here. Hope you're sitting down for this, Gil. More bad Anthony Richardson news.
What? Thank God you warned me.
There's been a couple like funny camp storylines. Like Anthony Richardson's one of those that when camp started, it was kind of, I heard some like good things coming out, and he had secured the number two spot, and they didn't know if they were going to trade him after the, like, there was indications that he'd be traded. And now reports this morning that him and Riley Leonard are firmly battling it out for the number two quarterback spot. So I actually like that, though, for preseason betting, right? You kind of look for those quarterback battles and where they're taking place, not often for the starting job, but often for that second quarterback job. Uh-huh. So you got that going on. Trey Lance over there in San Diego for the Chargers. Oh, L.A. Wow. Been a while since I've done that. When's the last time you called them the San Diego Chargers?
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
Just did that. Wow. All right, so those two in a teaser.
Yeah.
And then I'm picking on some injured teams. Titans, I took this when they were the dog. They are the favorite now against the Niners that night. That is Thursday night. Man, it crossing the zero, so not a huge difference here, but hopefully you were listening earlier when Gil went over what the preseason ATS records were. Dogs of 2.5? Right? 2.5 or less?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of success there. So I caught it at the dog press. They have flipped to the favorite, so that one might be a stay away. Now, and then the only other one I believe this hasn't really moved. Yeah, Chiefs. I played the money line. I kind of like the Chiefs setup. We talked about Sean McVay and the Rams earlier. I think McVay is more of a punted in the preseason guy. Chiefs got an interesting quarterback depth chart right now heading into the preseason. We saw Chris Oludokun last season start a game for them. He's like fourth. You're going to see Garrett Nussmeier get a lot of plays. So depending on what you thought about him in college, maybe that's a bright side. Maybe it's not. We'll find out. And Justin Fields is there as well. I'm assuming we're not going to see much of Patrick Mahomes. Like Justin Fields, you're always, remember the Tyrod Taylor years? You're always looking for like one of those backups with some legs. I think that makes a lot of sense there in Kansas City. So small favorite. They're laying 1.5 with the Rams coming to town on Saturday. I played Chiefs money line in that game.
I just played a 3-team 10-point teaser.
Nice. Who you got?
Dolphins, Commanders over 25.5. Bucks Jets over 26, and the one that kind of scares me, Rams Chiefs over 26.5.
Like it.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely nothing.
What could go wrong?
I like that Bucks Jets ones for sure.
Yeah. Again, where you can get these, and it is the places where you can find these. Oh, you know what's interesting?
What's that?
They make you bet a nickel. Nickel max on these now.
They
will not let you bet more than a nickel, which is interesting because at Bookmaker, usually what they'll do is they'll let you bet it. Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah, you can bet just bet a second time. I was going to say that was weird. Yeah, so you a nickel at a time.
Okay, well, there you go.
There you go.
The Vikings-Giants line is a little interesting to me. I think this Vikings team is one I'll be jumping on a fair amount in the preseason for sides. Like, this is another in quarterback depth chart where it's, okay, you've got Kyler and J.J. McCarthy allegedly still battling it out for the starting quarterback job. So you would assume both of them are going to get some snaps, even though it's probably going to be very limited for Kyler.
Allegedly, by the way.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. There, Carson Wentz, whatever you think about Carson Wentz, him picking apart third stringers on defense, fourth stringers on defense, I can get behind. Max Brosmer, I've called the worst thing I've ever seen play quarterback, but, you know, he played quarterback professionally last year.
Do you believe that the Browns have a quarterback battle going on? Do you believe that?
Oh, my gosh. So that's the other one. I think, ahead of Anthony Richardson, there's probably a couple other ones, but that the Browns quarterback battle story has been wild to track because, like, end of last week, I finally started to back off of, like, oh, man, maybe Deshaun Watson does not have this one. It's been a terrible camp. Shadur was, like, really splitting snaps with him and everything. And then this weekend, all of a sudden, it was like, no, Shadur's just going to, like, take snaps with the second team, and Deshaun Watson's just taking the first team snaps.
Yeah, there's only one way to play it. Start Deshaun, and then if that goes bad.
But I
do, like, as you were talking about this just now, it is not outlandish to think that as long as Deshaun hasn't played, that he could be like, okay. I mean, it could have passed him by a bit.
So Dustin and I didn't really finish this conversation last week, but we got into it. And it's, I understand we paid a lot to get this guy here. You want to justify it, but also, like, you paid it. It's done. Like, if he sucks, and you see that Shadur Sanders might actually have something, I actually think you've got the obligation to play Shadur over him. So I don't know. It could make sense. that it plays out that way, but I get it.
Dylan Gabriel's still hanging around too?
He's still hanging around.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
No, I was surprised that this was even a thing, which is why I bring it up. Cleveland, by the way, a 1-point favorite against the Bears, week one of preseason this week. I was surprised at all that this was even being called a battle.
I was too, man, but you start looking at those and people make too much of them. Some of the, like, the camp tracker stuff. Oh my God, Deshaun Watson, those first like 4 or 5 days.
So bad.
It was like a bajillion interceptions. Like, oh, they just left and right.
Let's talk some Major League Baseball awards. Let's do a heat check. Some are unbettable at this point. Hope you got on them when we said to. And a couple have changed since I was gone. We'll see if those are justified next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.